from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today, the latest on a task force looking to lower the state's recidivism rate and provide rehabilitation reform in the Department of Corrections. Some counties are still experiencing delays for absentee voting ahead of the June election, a report on climate change and how it could be affecting South Dakota, and even more. It's Friday, April 24th. Here are today's stories. South Dakota's Department of Corrections has the right programming, but not the means to implement all its goals, a third-party consultant says. The department is also struggling with population-specific programming. That's the latest from the most recent meeting of a task force aimed at rehabilitation reform and lowering the recidivism rate. South Dakota's recidivism rate is the highest it's been since the Department of Corrections started tracking it. Recidivism in the state is defined as the rate offenders who leave the prison system return on either a new crime or parole violation in 3 years. Half the prisoners who left the system in 2021 returned by 2024. Though new Department Secretary Nick Lamb says not all states reflect parole violations or repeat offenses in their recidivism rate. This could make South Dakota's look disproportionately higher when comparing directly. One of the ways lawmakers are trying to fix the high rate is through new prisons with features to better serve rehabilitative efforts. The women's prison in Rapid City has more space for programming. Lawmakers approved funding and construction of a new men's prison in Sioux Falls. It replaces one built in 1881. At the prison's groundbreaking ceremony, Secretary Lamb said it'll certainly pay dividends.
This facility will help advance us, corrections-wise, in the state, to the future. More of a rehabilitation model. We have to do better. We have to get better about rehabilitating our offenders, and this facility will help us with that.
The Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force was formed by Governor Larry Rodin to look at South Dakota's Department of Corrections and try to improve that figure. One of the ways to do that is through programming and treatment. Many of South Dakota's prison population has a substance use disorder. The DOC's annual report showed in fiscal year 25, 91% of males and 97% of females assessed at intake in the prison system were identified as having a substance use disorder. One thing the task force looking at the issue heard at its latest meeting is programming is actually on the right track. The task force hired the Council of State Governments Justice Center, or CSG, as a third-party consultant to dive into DOC programming and ways to improve the system. They provided the task force with preliminary results. David DeMora is a senior policy advisor with CSG. He says DOC is on the right track after seeing all of the programs the department has.
And looking through that document, my issue is not you should throw this out. My issue is how do you build up the capacity to do this? You've got the right things. Now you've got to figure out how to implement it the right way, which is going to take some time and some resources.
However, not everything's great. He says programming specifically for Native Americans is lacking.
And that is, in fact, going to be one of the things in our recommendations as far as improving programming.
The 2025 DOC report shows Native Americans are overrepresented in South Dakota's prison system in general. 35% of men, 61% of women in state prisons are Native, despite accounting for just 10% of the state's general population. There are other gaps in programming, such as women-specific programming and an education programming outside of individuals seeking a GED. Sarah Friedman is a program director for CSG, and she says a lot of programming is duplicative.
You do have some programs that kind of address the exact same need for the exact same type of person, when you could be having more like here's an intro class and here's an advanced class, right? You could have more tiered and sequencing within the program catalog.
Getting into programming has been an issue for inmates as well. The CSG report showed that 25% more inmates received programming in 2025 than in 2023, but waitlists are an issue. Access to programs in the state's three largest prison facilities, the Jamison Annex, Mike Durfee State Prison in Springfield, and the South Dakota Penitentiary, is also an issue. CSG plans to provide cohesive changes and legislation that could help the state's prison system. That's expected in further detail at future meetings. However, they offered some changes they may recommend. Those include additional trainings and quality assurance for DOC staff, improving data quality issues to actually track program success, changing the structure for earned discharge credits, and others. CSG also mentioned it may be beneficial to create a single rehabilitation and reentry division within DOC. It would oversee all programming, education, case management, and behavioral health under one leadership structure. Other states have created similar divisions. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. The report from that same task force meeting left members with more questions than answers, specifically on what's changed and what's next. Mitchell Representative Jeff Bathke used to work as a licensed counselor for the Department of Corrections. He's wondering what's changed over time because the presentation didn't feel like news to him.
You know, when you look back of the 15 years ago, everything that they mentioned today that we should have or should do better, we did that 15 years ago. So I think what they need to do is go back and look at what changed in the last 15 years. Why do we no longer do what worked then? And another part was we need to look at what was our recidivism rate 1, 2, and 3 years out of prison 15 years ago. What is it today, and what's our goal for that? And I don't know if anybody, I'm not sure if many people in the room today actually know those numbers.
Bathke said there were good questions asked, but noted what he feels is a lack of knowledge of the prison system amongst task force members. CSG also said there's a lack of tribal-specific programming in the system for Native American inmates. Senator Tamara Grove represents District 26, which includes the Lower Brule Sioux Tribe Reservation. She says she's excited at the acknowledgement that South Dakota needs more on tribal programming.
It sounds like we're going to have some deeper conversations in that area. So I look forward to hearing, like, what more are they wanting to do? And I think probably it will be more of an emphasis on the cultural side and dealing with the traumas and the past experiences, the generational kind of stuff, which is huge. It is key when you're talking about substance use disorder.
Task force members are expected to hear more about programming and recommendations at the task force's June meeting. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. A delay in absentee ballot deliveries is impacting the state and communities large and small, urban and rural. As of Wednesday, none of the county auditors SDPB reached out to have received their 2026 primary ballots. SDPB CJ Keene has more.
Absentee voting for the June 2nd primary race was supposed to begin Friday, April 17th. State law mandates candidates submit their petitions on the final Tuesday of March, and since March 2026 ended on a Tuesday, that left 2 weeks between the deadline and what should have been the start of voting. But county auditors across the state say they're still without the all-important papers that allow the process to begin. As of press time, several county auditors from rural corners of the state are all in the same boat.
I don't have ballots yet. I'm hoping yet today or tomorrow.
We do not. No, we did just receive our sample ballot.
I was hoping for today, but I doubt that. I don't know. I haven't seen any tracking come through yet, so I don't know.
That's Kathy Glines of Harding County, Misty Dahl of Turner County, and Stacy Penny of Haakon County, all holding their breaths for ballots they need to effectively manage South Dakota's elections at the local level. Penny says it's a bad situation, but auditors have a job to do.
We'll make it work. One way or another. That's just what we do for our local community and registered voters. And that's where auditors, I feel, especially in the rural communities, they have more on the line for their local people and do what's right for them.
In the vast, sparsely populated counties West River, voting by mail is often just as important for those communities as popping downtown to fill out a ballot at your county admin building. Glines says each day passing without ballots makes this election less representative of rural communities.
My concern right now is getting the mail out. Of course, you know, it's rural delivery service. A lot of them only get mail 2-3 days a week. You know, of course, they go a distance. And because of the way we're right on the border, so some of it takes Rivas 25 miles away to the east, but it's a 576 instead of a 577. So then it's got a route through the North Dakota routes. It can take up to 9 days for me to get mail to Riva, and then 9 days back.
In a 46-day voting window, that can be a significant roadblock to the ballot box.
That doesn't count to your weekends and all of that, so... But that's my biggest concern is I'm hoping that we have adequate time to get the mail absentees out and back in.
East River, where county areas are smaller and more densely populated, mailing votes are less of a concern. That doesn't mitigate the challenge of the moment for Dahl, though.
As long as I receive my ballots and my coding for my ballots, so I'm able to test them to make sure all the machines are working properly. But that needs, we need to get that here soon. I mean, it, we're almost a week past when we were supposed to start absentee voting anyways.
While on the surface, this may seem like a minor blunder on the part of the Secretary of State's office, Dahl says any delay could have impacts downstream.
We would already had a test run in by now to make sure everything is running smoothly so nothing can go wrong, or to mitigate anything going wrong on election night.
In theory, that could mean delays in certifying the election. While Dahl says she's confident in the team from Turner County, she adds she's also confident in her voters who have been graceful through the process.
They're paying attention to our website to see when they are able to come absentee vote. So we haven't had any pitchforks come in, I guess, so to say.
That's echoed in Harding County as well, where Glein says it's not fun, but people hear what the auditors are trying to say.
I think for the most part, people are, they might not like it, but they you know, they understand our hands are tied. There's nothing we can do. It's not a good deal, but it is. It's what we're doing. But they've been very, very understanding. We'll come back. So, it is what it is. We're getting through it.
Back in Haakon County, though, Penny says there's a lesson to be learned here, not for voters or county auditors themselves, but for state lawmakers.
The 46-day window is crucial. So no matter what our legislature does here for locals, they're still going to have to take that into consideration. And the main issue with all these election issues, I would say personally, rest on the shoulders of their legislators. We took it to session a couple of times and were turned down. And so now they get to see the result of that.
South Dakota does not offer a grace period for ballots postmarked before the election but delivered after the date. That means all ballots that aren't received by Election Day must be tossed. I'm SDPB's CJ Keen in Rapid City.
A grassroots group releases a report in hopes South Dakota leaders will act on climate change. SODAC 350 was founded in 2020 as an activist group to, quote, make South Dakota part of the climate solution. The group rebranded last year as the South Dakota Green Project to make the goal clearer for outsiders. The South Dakota Green Project recently released a report detailing both the impacts and effects of climate change in South Dakota. Michael Heisler is chair of the group. He says the group is growing and finding people are more interested in the topic.
And this report, the reason we did the report is to provide useful information that's believable, that's evidence-based, that we can use to stimulate this conversation, and hopefully can use as a roadmap to help engage community leaders and people running for office to talk specifically about the reality of climate change in our community.
The report says, with greater support from local and state governments, South Dakota can build a sustainable future that delivers for all South Dakotans. Heisler's group hopes to curb some of the negative effects from climate change, many of which are detailed in the report. It says that South Dakota's average annual temperature has increased by 2 degrees since the beginning of the 20th century. The report also outlines actions different industries can move towards greener solutions. That includes agriculture, which makes up 60% of the state's greenhouse emissions. The report says inaction on climate change would negatively impact livestock, the ag industry, tourism, and individual health. Heisler, an MD, touches on the health impacts of climate change.
But it's already impacting what we see as healthcare providers across the board. And it's not just vector-borne disease and West Nile and the impact of floods and devastating, you know, tornado, all of that. It's chronic disease like heart disease and renal disease and lung disease that's impacting our community every day. And healthcare providers all know about it.
According to a Yale survey on the matter, about 64% of South Dakotans believe global warming is happening. State safety officials are giving a reminder that election signs are not allowed on state rights-of-way. The right-of-way is the strip of government-owned land along a road or highway. The Department of Public Safety says the only signs allowed on this land are official highway signage like speed limit or stop signs. They say any other signs can create a safety hazard. If you see an illegally placed election sign, you can call your local DOT office to have it removed. National Drug Take-Back Day is tomorrow. The event is a chance for people to safely dispose of unwanted or unneeded medication at participating pharmacies and law enforcement agencies. South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley says it's a safe way to get rid of unused and potentially dangerous medication. A list of disposal sites in South Dakota is online at dea.gov. The City of Brookings is bringing back its Urban Forest Initiative this year. The program offers reimbursement to residents who plant a tree. The city is investing $25,000 in the initiative this year. Officials say since the program began in 2021, 767 trees have been planted throughout the community. Usually, each property qualifies for one tree reimbursement per year. But this year, residents living in some areas of town can get up to two reimbursements. More information is available at sdpb.org/news. The percentage of major crops like soybeans and corn planted in South Dakota this year are relatively similar to the same time last year. However, oats and spring wheat are both more than 10 percentage points less than 2025 numbers. That's according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Survey. Only 28% of spring wheat acreage has been planted so far this year, compared to 47% the same time last year. As for oats, 40% this year compared to 56% last year. South Dakota's drought conditions are reflected in the survey, as less than half of topsoil and subsoil in the state has adequate moisture for normal crop growth. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.